Hey, this is Tom Reber from the Strongpreneur Podcast. And today I talk with Jared Easley of StarveTheDoubts.com and the Starve the Doubts Podcast, as well as PodcastMovement.com. He's doing some amazing things in the podcast world, changing lives, helping a lot of people. And today we have a nice conversation here about just being bold, being yourself, being an explorer, what to do when things don't work out the way you want them to. So grab your earbuds, go for a walk, do whatever you do when you listen to this stuff, but hang with us as I talk to Jared Easley. One quick note, we had a couple audio issues in this thing, but I'm just going to ask you to gut through it, motor through it, and hang with us to the end. I apologize for that. And after you listen to the podcast, I'd love to have your honest feedback, so go to iTunes and rate it for us. Give us a review, good, bad, ugly. It all works because we're just looking for ways to get better. And if you also would, please hit the subscribe button so that we can continue to have an impact and help build stronger businesses. All right, so here we go with Jared Easley. My podcast is about people who are building stronger lives, building stronger businesses. They refuse to settle for what they get or being mediocre. And when I heard you on a friend's podcast a while back and started looking into you and what you were doing, I really wanted to have you on as a guest. So if you wouldn't mind, you know, for our listeners that don't know who you are, what would you tell us? What do they need to know about Jared?
Well, I was a project manager and I got let go in the, the December of 2013. And I had been podcasting and stuff prior to that. And my wife is a nurse and we kind of made the decision, all right, I'm not going to run and jump back into just another day job yet. I'm going to see if I can try to develop some of these ideas that I've been putting together at that point, about a year or so. And now you fast forward and there's been a couple of opportunities that have opened up that have been a little bit risky and a little bit scary at times, but I feel like I'm on a pretty exciting path. So we, for those that don't know, we started an event last year, me and my business partners, that's for podcasters. And it's in August. It's in Fort Worth, Texas this year. It's called Podcast Movement. And there wasn't really a big conference that focused on podcasting. And we knew that people wanted to go to something like that, but it wasn't out there. So we decided, hey, why don't we try to create it? We looked around. We got good advice. We created a crowdfunding campaign to validate the idea and had the event last year and had 600 podcasters come to Dallas, Texas for our first event. And it did really well, and we're looking to do it again this year. We're excited. We got some awesome speakers lined up, like Aisha Tyler, and she's on the Girl on Guy podcast, but most people probably know her from The Talk on CBS, and she used to date Ross on Friends on the TV show. She's on Whose Line Is It Anyway, and all kinds of stuff. So Sarah Koenig from Serial, that's a huge podcast. A lot of people who listen to podcasts are likely to know about Serial. So she's our closing keynote. Then there's in the business space, there's people like John Lee Dumas from Entrepreneur on Fire and Pat Flynn from Smart Passive Income that are going to be there. We have Lou Mangiello, who's he does Walt Disney World Radio, and he's won the best travel podcast 8 years in a row. So it's a pleasure to have Lou. And then Roman Mars from 99% Invisible. I mean, we've got just a stacked lineup for Podcast Movement. So people who like podcasting, that's a cool event for them.
Well, that sounds like a killer event. You said last year you had 600 people for the first time?
Yes. Yeah, it was the first time. And we created it from scratch. I mean, Tom, we didn't have any track record of doing events. And that's hopefully an encouragement to someone who's listening. They can go and be smart and wise and validate their idea and get advice and so on and so forth and create something that doesn't exist but still has an impact.
So tell me about that a little bit, because I remember hearing before that you hadn't put on an event before, didn't really know what to do, but you had this idea. And what did that conversation sound like in your head?
Well, the first thing was we heard people wanting that, saying why didn't it exist, and that was the market saying we want this. And you need to look, train your ears to hear what questions people are asking, and then based on that you can determine, hey, can I solve that problem or can I come up with a solution to that problem? And just because you have an idea, Tom, doesn't mean it's a good business or it's a good way to spend your time and your resources. And that's why we did a validation. We didn't have experience in creating events, but we knew people who did. And we were able to go to those folks and have conversations with them and get advice. What would you do if you were starting over? Mm-hmm. What advice would you have for us? Knowing what you know now, those types of conversations really set us up to be in a good position to make better decisions. And then just because you have an idea doesn't mean you want to invest your time and your money into it. You got to make sure that people want to support that idea. They want to pay for it if it's a business. We used Kickstarter, which is a platform for crowdfunding, and put the idea on the Kickstarter page. And we were a little nervous about that time because we reviewed and did our homework and realized there was not a track record of successfully funded events on Kickstarter. Mm-hmm. And that was a moment where we could have said, oh, this is a bad idea. The track record here shows that this is not likely to succeed based on, what other people have done and failed. But we didn't believe that. We knew that, hey, the market, we've heard people say that they want this. And we're not going to spend a ton of time and money into it. So this is a way for the market to vote with their wallet and say, yes, we absolutely do want this, so much so that we will pay for it, even though it doesn't exist yet. That's a concept called marketing before you manufacture. Tom, a lot of people know if you go buy a plane ticket, that doesn't mean you're hopping on that plane right that moment. That's marketing before you manufacture. You bought that ticket before you ever got on flight. So it's the same thing. You're basically pre-selling an idea, and if people buy it, you create it. You have integrity. You have to create it if people buy it. If they don't buy it, then you don't create it, and you haven't wasted your time.
Right.
You haven't wasted your money. So Kickstarter, we put up the campaign, and we reached out to our friends that podcast and say, will you support this? Will you attend it? Will you speak at it? And we had an overwhelming yes from the people in our network. We didn't have a big email list or anything like that. That's another rule that's people say you have to have this massive email list to go start something that's going to be successful. And they're like, well, what do you do if you don't have that? We didn't have that, but we did have a network. We did have friends. We reached out to them, and sure enough, the event or the Kickstarter campaign went live. And within 9 hours, Tom, we reached our minimum goal. The money that we needed just to validate. And then 30 days was the full length of the campaign. We had over 3 times what we needed. And that was enough to start pre-selling the tickets, to reserve the venue, to do all the things that we needed to do. And then, like we mentioned, last August, we had the first event with 600 people. And, man, it was just such an amazing thing to see something that didn't exist in January of 2014 turn into an event with 600 people in August of that year.
And isn't that what every entrepreneur loves, though? You take nothing, you take this idea, and you're able to turn it into this thing that just kicks butt right out of the gate. And you have this massive success. What jumps out at me through the whole experience of listening to your story is that you really built this thing by being a great listener to people.
Listening is so important. I was watching a video recently by Pat Flynn. He talked to a different strategy.
Hey, Jared. Hey, did I lose you? Can you hear me?
You there?
Yeah, you know what? The connection got massive.
Hey, Tom, you still with me?
Yeah, do you hear me? Hello.
Hey, Tom, you still with me?
Yeah, I can barely hear you.
Can you hear me now?
It keeps going in and out.
Oh, wow. Skype. Usually it's pretty consistent.
I'm hardwired in.
Okay, is it better now?
Yeah, it seems to be.
All right, please accept my apology for that.
That's all right, man.
There'll be some slight editing. You're talking about listening, so yeah. I'll start over from that point. I was recently watching a video by Pat Flynn, and Pat Flynn was sharing some strategies that the viewers could use to be wise with their attendance for conferences. And one of the pieces of advice that he gave, I think, is so critical. He said, when you're going to these conferences and events, you want to spend more time being interested in what other people are doing rather than trying to be interesting. And I thought, wow, that's such a good word. Imagine if people really, you know, lived like that and followed that advice, how many more opportunities could come your way, how your network could grow, what type of friendships you could develop. And I wrote a book this last year. It was my first attempt at a book, Tom. And one of the things that I share in the beginning of that book is a strategy that's worked really well for me as a podcaster. When you're starting out and you're trying to grow your idea or trying to grow your podcast or whatever it is you're working on, you need people to support that idea. You want them to know about it. Mm-hmm. But how do you develop that if you're new? And the strategy that I found that works really well, but it requires time, right? It takes time to do it, is called be the noticer. That's the strategy. If you want to get noticed, you have to first start by noticing other people. And that goes back to your point of listening. You know, mm-hmm. if you're noticing other people, being more interested in what they're doing rather than trying to be interesting, that has the power to create a rapport. And rapport over time, as you generously listen, as you generously connect, and you do that with authenticity, rapport over time creates reciprocity, Tom. So people say, I love Tom. Tom's a great guy. Tom's fantastic. Let me tell you about Tom. When you have several people that start saying, let me tell you about Tom, more and more folks will listen to that than if it's just you saying, hey, listen to me.
Right.
Or check out this thing. It's not as effective when it's just you, but when you have other people saying, we really like Tom, that is when you have momentum. So the noticer strategy is what is to your point. That's listening. And then if you start by noticing, that creates the rapport, which over time yields reciprocity. And that's how you build an army. People notice an army. So you got to start by noticing people and listening like you were talking about.
All right. So somebody's listening to this podcast right now and they hear this be the noticer strategy. What does it look like practically for somebody who's never once thought about that concept?
I think, what's a message that you feel compelled to share with people? If it's a business, what's your business? If it's, just anything that you're excited about, what is that? What's that thing you can't stop talking about at the party? Mm-hmm. Where your spouse or someone looks at you and be like, you're talking about it again. What is that? What's that thing? Now, who are people that would also be interested in that thing? Those are the people that you need to be interested in, rather than you saying, hey, let me tell you. That's a mistake people make. But to your point, listening first, how can I be interested in what you're doing, Tom? And as I get to know you and you share with me, we connect on a different level. We become friends. And I social media's got all this terms like followers. And I don't really like the term followers, Tom. Some people will disagree with me, but I like friends. I prefer looking at this. I'm going to make friends with people because I care. I want to get to know Tom. I want to get to know people out there. And when you're approaching it as friends, you're my follower, but you're my friend. I think people relate to that better. And I think that opens up more opportunity for you to generously connect and grow your network because people want to get to know you. They want to connect with you. They trust you. But you don't create that trust unless you've been more interested in them than you were trying to be interesting.
Yeah, and really, even going back to as you're talking, I'm thinking of, Zig Ziglar, help enough people get what they want, you're going to get what you want. That's such a universal truth, and it does start with really paying attention to, the other people. Excuse me, and not just being all about ourselves.
I think some people miss it, Tom, because it's not a quick fix. Mm-hmm. And a lot of folks just want the simple solution that creates this massive result. And that doesn't always exist. It's like planting a garden, right? You don't get any growth from something if you just hold on to the seed. You have to plant it and then you have to wait. But if you're willing to wait, it does yield a plant or it yields a harvest.
Yeah.
And I think that's what some people miss is, are they willing to plant the garden? If they are, they'll see results.
So can we talk about doubts for a little bit, since you have a pretty dang cool podcast called Starve the Doubts?
Yeah, man, I had a lot of doubts starting that podcast.
So, yeah, if you're listening to this, you know, head over to iTunes and check out Starve the Doubts. You could also go to starvethedoubts.com, and there's some great stuff here. But, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs have an idea. They throw stuff at the wall. Things don't work out the way they planned. A lot of times, most of the time. What do you say to that person?
I say part of that is life. Part of that you can avoid by, you know, validating ideas like we talked about earlier. And then part of that is knowing, you know, okay, you got enough good advice, you got enough understanding of something. You know, fear, if you look at fear, fear is just that, it's a question. It's really saying, are you prepared? You know, are you prepared for what's about to happen? If you're prepared, you can make those responsible and smart steps. If you're not prepared, you can back away. Or how do you get prepared so that you can take the next step? And I think that's something that people need to consider, is not all fear is bad. Doubts are not necessarily bad. If you're unsure, what can you do to increase the likelihood of your confidence and making a good decision? And that could be reading a book. That could be listening to a podcast. That could be getting advice from people that you trust and have a good track record of being responsible and making smart decisions. I think when you're actively doing those types of things, you're going to position yourself in a way where you are making decisions that are wise, and you're not just making some move that is foolish and reckless. There's no certainty that you're always going to do everything. Like, nobody steps up to the batter's box in baseball and it's a home run every time. It doesn't happen. But you can't hit the home run if you don't get up to bat.
Right.
Meaning you have to get in the game. You can't win the game if you're just sitting on the sidelines. Right?
Yeah.
So I think that's an encouraging word to people is don't be afraid to explore. It starts with exploration. How do you look at what it is that you're considering? Who are some other people who've had results in similar areas or that specific area? And can you talk to those people? Can you interview them on a podcast? Can you interview them for your blog? Can you just ask them a question on Twitter? There's so many opportunities. Can you go into a Facebook group that's targeted, a Facebook group that's about a topic that you're interested in, and ask a question in that group and say, hey, what do you guys think about this? What would you do if this was you? Or what would you do in this scenario? And then you get all kinds of good advice, or you get answers to that question, and you can then evaluate if it's good advice. I think that's the key, is people just need to be prepared as best as they can so they can make the best decision possible. Doubts are always going to be there. Not all doubt is bad, but if you can prepare yourself, that'll set you up to take a responsible step. But you can't make moves and you can't pursue success if you don't take steps. And you should pursue success, Tom. I think success is important, not from a vanity standpoint, but if your desire is to provide value and to help other people, you increase the likelihood of accomplishing that goal if you pursue success, because the greater success that you have, the greater opportunity that you have to give back. There's more influence. And when you have more influence, that's when you can really help other folks.
So
you don't develop influence by not taking steps.
How do you define success personally?
For me, my wife and my daughter is success. I have a 4-year-old daughter. Last night, my wife and I went on a date night, and we went to a cooking class locally that we found on Groupon. And that was one of the best times I've had recently. Like, it was a blast. My wife and I had a great time, and we were with a group of people, and we, you know, cooked, you know, prepped all the food and you know, made different courses. And then everybody sat together who was part of that class and had the meal, and it was an amazing meal. We had helps from, you know, chefs that were with us or people that were qualified to help us. And that was success. That was having fun with my wife. That was having a good evening with my wife. So success isn't always a number in your bank account. Today I had lunch with the publisher, and I've got a published book that's coming out later this year. And I think, I can't even believe I'm saying that in a sentence. I'm having lunch with my publisher. Like, And that would have never happened, Tom, had I not started a podcast. And what if I didn't start that podcast? I could have easily said, well, I don't have experience podcasting. I don't know how to interview people. I don't know how to put together all this hardware and then edit. And that's a tough thing to do. I'm not qualified to do that. I could have said those things, but if I said those things, that wouldn't have opened up opportunities to speak to different people and get new ideas, ultimately, that are translated into, you know, a framework for a book that a traditional publisher is actually going to put out later this year. And I'll be able to take my daughter and my wife into Barnes and Nobles and see a book on the bookshelf. And that's a powerful moment. That's something that I'm going to celebrate with them. And you know, that's, again, that success is different for different people, but for me, it's really about relationships. I love my family and I want them to be happy. And you know, my faith is important. That's success. Like, I want people to know where I stand with my faith. And, you know, I recently did an episode of the podcast that, you know, I knew wasn't going to resonate with some people, because there's not people who have the same faith as me that listen to the show. And my co-host and I, his name's Kamanzi Constable. Kamanzi and I, we did the episode, and at the very beginning, we said, hey, this episode's not going to be for everybody. If it's not for you, here's a couple episodes you can go listen to that you may prefer. But this episode, we're talking about our faith and how that relates to starving the doubts. And we talked about, you know, our faith in God. And we talked about our relationship with Christ. And I thought, man, you know, that's a little bit risky, because some podcasters aren't willing to do that. But we put it out there, and we had just such an amazing response to that. You know, some people, even people that I knew were not into that, wrote to me and gave me, you know, a message, a simple message about them appreciating me being bold enough to do that. And then there was others who also have that experience in their life, and they wrote and just appreciated us being willing to talk about that. And so it actually created a very unique response that we don't often get on every episode. We do get responses on episodes, but not quite like that one. And I felt like that was something that was successful. That was the right thing to do. That was something that, you know, we needed to share. We did it. So, yeah, success is different for everybody. But for me, it's, you know, if you got something in your heart, you feel compelled to share a message, finding a way to share that and in a way that's, you know, helping other people, I think that's success.
That's good stuff. So you've interviewed some pretty amazing people on your Starve the Doubts podcast. Do any stand out as impacting you in deeper ways personally than others?
Well, in the beginning, I kind of made my strategy in the beginning was trying to connect with really, really like reputable people in terms of like authors, New York Times bestselling authors, you know, people in marketing and online business. And while it was amazing to talk to some of those people, and they were super generous with their time, what I found, Tom, is it was not their responsibility to share my podcast or to promote that conversation. And I was a little discouraged by that time. I thought, oh, if I just have an interview with Seth Godin, you know, maybe Seth is going to put this out there. Well, of course he didn't do that. It was unrealistic. It was not realistic for me to expect him to do that. And I don't know that I did expect that. I think that's an extreme example. But I got a little disappointed in the beginning interviewing people that I really looked up to, and then they didn't share it. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, I think they would share it. You know, that's how you grow an audience. You interview successful people, and then some of their listeners come and listen to you. And I learned the hard way. While I was, you know, excited to get their advice and thankful for their generosity, I realized it wasn't their responsibility to grow and connect with people. That was mine. And so I learned over time that the value for me was having conversations with people that are just slightly up the mountain for me. Not people who are at the top, and just people who are slightly ahead of me. And these are people who have not forgotten what it's like to be in the trenches. These are the folks who want to share the value because they understand. And I've just found that I connect on a deeper level with those types of people. And we sometimes feature people that aren't, you know, up further up the mountain. Maybe they're a little bit further, you know, down the mountain, but they have some exciting momentum, and they've done something that's pretty cool, and they've got a good story, and we bring them on the show and we share that, and it creates a really good relationship with those people. And that episode may not be the most popular episode, but we get a lot of good feedback sometimes. One time I had a friend tell me, you need to interview this lady who does homeschool stuff. And I thought, what does that have to do with, I don't know about this. And I reluctantly kind of gave in, And it ended up being amazing interviews, a lady named Sarah McKenzie. And she just shared from her heart, talked about homeschooling and her passion for her kids and helping other moms that are into that. And that ended up being one of the most popular episodes, one of the most downloaded episodes of the entire series of the podcast. And I thought, man, well, there's a lesson right there. The lesson is, you know, don't always just assume somebody's not going to be an interesting topic or something that people are going to resonate with, because that I kind of misjudged, and it's been a great episode. And then now she's become a friend and a good connection. My business partner, Dan, with Podcast Movement, when we first started out, he wasn't on the level that he's on now. He wasn't very well known. He's a CPA who was, you know, getting into podcasting, and he used to be a professional wrestler, traveling around to high school gyms, making $25 and eating a hot dog. You know what I mean? But he's just a really good dude. And I remember thinking, I see potential in this guy, Dan, and not everybody else really messed with him because he wasn't high up the mountain. But I remember seeing something in him that made me realize that's a good person to work with. He's a good person I could collaborate with. And sure enough, now you fast forward, we're running a successful business. And, you know, if I had written him off in the beginning, just saying, okay, this is just some guy that used to wrestle and I don't think he knows what he's doing, I would have been I would have really limited myself. I would have not put myself in a situation to have some of the wins that we've had this last year because I didn't collaborate with the right folks. Right. And so that's another lesson there is don't be afraid to connect with people that you may not think can help you. Instead, look for ways that you can be serving other people, because you never know where people are going to be in the next couple of years.
Yeah.
And you don't want to limit your opportunities just because you say, okay, I don't think this person's helpful to me. And then a few years later, they're in a different position and you're like, maybe I should have been a little bit nicer to them then.
Yeah, you can never go wrong lifting others up, you know? I mean, it's...
I think that's said, Tom.
So I have an interesting question here. I don't know how old you are, but I'm 45 years old, and so are a lot of my friends and people in my circles, and I see the potential in the world that we live in now. It's so much different than when I was, you know, growing up. And again, I'm not sitting here saying I'm some old fogey. I don't think that way. But, you know, my kids are, my oldest is almost 15, and he's never known a world where you didn't download something. You know, and my world is certainly a lot different than that. But I see this potential that we have and these amazing opportunities in our world to make money that we didn't have 20 years ago and build careers. And one thing that has created some doubt in me in the past is I feel like I'm behind not only the technology curve with some of this stuff, but also the what's possible today curve. Like I feel sometimes I'm a half lap behind. And then some of those people that are younger that have grown up with this. What do you say to the 40-something or older person who's caught between two worlds of, you know, the way things were and the potential that there is? You know, what do you tell them to, you know, work through that?
My encouragement would be like, don't just write something off and think, okay, that's impossible for me to understand. You have to try to keep an open mind with that. I mean, last night, I mentioned earlier, I went on a, you know, date night with my wife, this cooking class, and they wanted me to cut an onion. My experience up to that point of cutting onions is, man, that's going to make me cry. I'm going to have tears in my eyes. And this guy shows me this different way to use the cutting board and to use the knife and the proper way to hold it and a different way to slice it. And I followed his instructions. The next thing I know, I'd chopped in this onion, and I didn't have any tears because I'd done it the right way.
Oh, come on.
And I thought, wow, you know, moving forward, if I have to do this again, and I will, I'm going to know what to do, right? I'm going to be in a better situation. But up to that point, I was a little reluctant. And I think it's the same way with anything. Until you try it, until you actually do it, give yourself that opportunity to try it. Give yourself that opportunity to actually learn it. There is reluctance. There is hesitance. But don't let that stop you. I mean, your family, your children, the next generation, they're going to pick up on stuff that may not be as obvious to you. Like, it's funny, my 4-year-old daughter can work an iPad better than my mom, right?
Right.
And I find that kind of humorous. And I'm encouraging my mom, like, well, you know, you got to just do this, this, and this, and this is simple, you know, or you can watch this YouTube video. Or there's so many opportunities to learn stuff. And I understand that hesitance, but I would say that's part of starving the doubts too, is there are new opportunities. Don't limit yourself because you're not willing to try to learn about new opportunities. And I think when you're reading books, when you're listening to good podcasts like this one, when you're making an effort to try to constantly be learning and find out what opportunities are out there, you will be more open to some of the new things that are developing. And there's always going to be something new.
Sure.
And it's good to be mindful of that.
Yeah, it's having that explorer's mentality that you talked about earlier. Don't be afraid to explore and test new waters. And so it's funny you brought up the onion. About a half an hour before you and I jumped on this call today, I attempted to peel a banana like a monkey for the first time. And I saw a video yesterday on Facebook or something. And some guy's like, "Hey, man, this is changing my life." And you grab it from the other end and squeeze it.
Interesting.
You pinch the other end of the banana that you're the bottom of it. And and he's like, "If you watch a monkey, this is how they peel a banana." So I was like, "Well, come on, you can't argue with how a monkey peels a banana." So there you go.
Well, that's funny. If you think about it, you hold a banana upside down, that stem is like a handle.
Yeah.
Right? And then if you peel from the top, it's like it's almost like you get like a popsicle or something. You got a little stick there, a handle.
You got a banana popsicle.
Exactly. It's like, you know. But yeah, how many people do that? Most people don't. So
yeah, it's that's cool. And I'll have to figure out that onion thing, because every time I touch an onion, I cry. So
yeah.
So I know we're getting close on time here, and I want to be able to get you moving on here. But what you know, if you go back, you know, 4 or 5 years, or to the time before you really started podcasting, and before you were let go of your project manager job, if you were to go back to that guy, what would that guy way back then think of the guy that's on the call with me here now?
I think he'd be encouraged. He would realize, okay, there are other opportunities out there that I haven't considered yet. And in that stage 5 years ago, I was just thinking, okay, I mean, and I'm not in any way downplaying having a day job, but at the time I was in a day job that I wasn't really excited about. And I just kind of had told myself, this is the way it is. And to improve that, you just work harder and try to move yourself up that ladder. And I played that game and I had some success with that, but I've realized, whatever your situation is, if you feel stuck, you're probably not stuck. There's other opportunities that you can consider. There's other relationships that you can develop. There's other things that can happen. And you got to be open to that. And sometimes it is as simple as listening to podcasts or reading a new book to start changing your mindset and start thinking a little bit differently. And hearing stories of people who overcome these doubts, or who have gone and created an opportunity that didn't exist by being a little bit bold. Those types of stories, when you hear that, for me, that just lit me up. That got me excited. That encouraged me. And so for the person who's feeling a little bit stuck, is start considering, you know, what are some podcasts I can listen to that'll give me that encouragement to go out and start being a little bit healthier, or start setting goals again. I had a guest named Ryan Eller. Ryan's just an amazing guy, but he does a podcast called Live Your List. And we talked about the importance of just dreaming big, and if life was limitless, what would you want to do in your life? And writing that down. And then saying, okay, how would I go about this? If I want to give a TED talk, how would I give a TED talk? What would I do? If I wanted to write a self-published book, how would I write it? You know, what would I write about? You know, if I wanted to, I don't know, take a trip to Tahiti, you know, what would I need to do to make that happen? You know, those types of things, that bucket list. I think that's a really good starting point for people who are feeling stuck. It's come up with a list. If life was limitless, what would you want to do? And then, you know, kind of work it backwards. Like, well, okay, well, what would be step one? What would I do? Okay, I don't know anything about that. Who does? Who could I talk to? You might see if that kind of lights you up a little bit. It might get you excited and fan that passion flame, if you will. You know, that's not a bad thing. That can compel you to take other steps.
Absolutely. So Jared, what's in your future? I know you got your event in Dallas this summer, but what else is going on? Where are you going, and how can people reach you if they want to check you out?
Well, we got an event coming up. We do smaller one-day events, and so this Saturday we're doing one in San Diego. We're doing one later in the year in Chicago and Atlanta and Boston and Orlando and Austin, Texas. And so we're not looking for new things to do. We actually have plenty to do. There's a book coming out later this year that I'm excited about. So those are the things on the horizon. The event you mentioned is Podcast Movement. People can go to podcastmovement.com if that interests them. And then the podcast, if they run out of episodes of your great show and they're looking for another show to check out until your next episode, then starofthedoubts.com is a good place to go as well.
Awesome, man. Well, I highly encourage you check out Star of the Doubts, and there's some great stuff. Jared, you've been at this a long time, and you do a great job of adding value to your listeners. So I really want to tell you I appreciate that, you know, for me personally, and I know others will love it as well. So, well, hey, man, enjoy that rough weather down in Florida. I look forward to hopefully meeting you in person next month in Chicago and at your event there. And following what you do from here on out, man. So I just want to really thank you for being on today. And, you know, everybody that's listening to this, you know, take some of the stuff Jared talked about, and, you know, don't be afraid to explore. Don't be afraid to, you know, be a giver to other people and lift them up. And in turn, you have no clue where it's going to take you. So, Jared, thank you so much for your time today, man. And God bless you. We'll talk to you next time.
Thank you so much, Tom.